Miller Lite, the official beer partner of your Philadelphia Phillies, is proud to serve as presenting sponsor of WIP's High Hopes Pod. So whether you're listening to the game, catching up on the latest High Hopes Pod, or at the ballpark, remember, it tastes like Miller time, Phillies fans. Celebrate responsibly. This is the High Hopes Podcast. High Hopes. It's a bunch of baseball nerds talking about the Phillies on radio.com and Sports Radio 94 WIP.
It is another edition of the High Hopes Podcast. Jack, we back.
He's gone. He's gone.
What a day.
It's definitely a day.
Well, it could have been better if John Middleton decided not to speak.
Just don't talk.
All right, Matt's gone. We're all good. We'll figure it out.
Everything's great. Literally, so I was back in Westchester watching Jill's dog for the weekend while her parents are away. And we were out at Highland Orchards and, you know, we were getting some pumpkins for our outdoor decorating.
Look at you. So domesticated. I love it.
Big pumpkin guy. You know, any chance I can get to get my hands on some pumpkins, I'm going to do it. So, not the
line I was expecting. I appreciate it.
So we're there and we're going through and it's, you know, decently crowded. And I get the Salisbury notification and I just let out a fist pump and like, he's gone. He did it. He's gone. I have my baseball team back. And it was mildly embarrassing in front of a good group of people. And then drove around. Super happy. Couldn't think. I mean, Jill's wondering like why I was so not engaged in the conversations regarding pumpkins. So I got home, drove down. Now I'm in my apartment, and we are recording. The Matt Klentak has been fired. Boy, I wish it was both Andy McPhail and him, but Matt Klentak is gone.
Yes.
He's gone. He is gone, and we can finally have a freaking baseball team again.
Well, and a podcast again, because we were serious and we were actually pretty nervous when we did it because we love doing this podcast. We love the IOPS listeners. You know, we would never lie to you. And we were like, you know what? We got to take a stand here. We can't abide this. You know, we can't just sit by and let this happen. And I was a little nervous there for a while, Jack. I was like, oh, crap. Did we just decide not to do our podcast for a year? I was very nervous. So from that perspective, I'm very happy. We'll get into like, you know, the Middleton stuff and the McPhail stuff and all that. But for a minute, let's just revel in the fact that he's gone. This guy who has mucked up our life for the last few years is gone. He's gone. It's no more. No more Matt Klentak. No more objectively excellent offseason. No more Branch Rickey. No more none of it. This guy is finally gone. It's a glorious day. It is pretty freaking hilarious that he stepped down. You can't see me now, Jack, but I'm making air quotes as I say it. I mean, very clearly, quote unquote, fired, but John Middleton said, I'm paying you money, so you're going to do something for me. I mean, who knows what he is? Maybe he'll work at a cigar factory or something. Before we get into the Middleton stuff and the McPhail stuff and the JT stuff and the whole, all of it, just Klentak being gone is a beautiful thing, Jack.
It really is. It really is a beautiful thing. And I obviously, we're not, you know, he got fired. He stepped down. And maybe he's gonna make sure the lights turn on at Citizens Bank Park next year. Like maybe that's gonna be his role. The one thing though that I am semi nervous about is Howie stepped down or whatever, and it's basically
case, if we want to follow that timeline, Matt Klentak's gonna go in a closet for a year. He's gonna somehow figure it all out, come back, have a perfect year,
yeah,
and we'll win the World Series, and then it'll be all downhill after that. I'd take that.
Right. I'm but in. Then he'll forget how to do his job 2 years later.
Yeah.
So
I'm in on that.
It's great.
I mean, I'd take it.
No, and it's a shame because the Middleton press conference happened, but but like I genuinely feel like I got my baseball team back. Like Klentak had really ruined, like the Phillies were in such a good position in 2015. Like they were in such a good position if they just got the right guy in there to do the right things and run the organization the right way. Unfortunately, they chose him when they could have had Levine, who went to the Twins, and they could have had Haim. And it's all unfortunate, and it's whatever. But it's over. It is over. He's going to be gone in a year. When his contract runs out, like it just won't be renewed.
Effectively, he's gone. Like he's gone. As far as we're all concerned, we will not have to deal or think about Matt Klentak, which is a beautiful thing.
Exactly. And finally, maybe now there's some hope. There's a little bit of hope that if they get the right guy in here, the Phillies are a freaking monster, man. They are a freaking monster. And, you know, you saw the Robert Murray tweet after Klentak was fired, and you saw, the coveted job around baseball, and these guys were talking about how, like, the ownership wants to win, and sure, I mean, I guess that's the common theme is that ownership wants to win. I mean, they have spent $200 million on payrolls. I mean, they've gotten to that point. Obviously, we know they did not go over that, but they have gotten to $200 million, so they're definitely willing to spend money. It's just getting the right guy in there, and I can't stop thinking about, like, a small market guy sees the Phillies and thinks, what can I do with that kind of payroll? And, like, the freaking Marlins just advanced in the playoffs with a $28 million payroll.
Lost a playoff series, Jack.
Yeah,
they're on their way to the World Series. They're going to win it.
Unbelievable. $28 million. Like, imagine what a real competent GM can do with the amount of resources and the amount of money that the Phillies have. I pray they get the right guy in there. You can't. I am terrified about a Dombrowski. I am terrified about some of these old school GMs. I could see him going in that direction. I am very nervous, but they have a golden opportunity here to get this thing right and get it on the right path. And this was the first step. I was nervous that he wasn't going to do it. I was with you. I was nervous that we were never going to do another High Hopes podcast until Matt Klentak was gone. But they did it. Credit where credit is due. They got rid of Matt Klentak. It's time to get the right guy in there and get this thing back on track. They've spent the money. They have some players up there in the major league roster. It is a golden freaking opportunity, and I just can't wait. I can't wait to see what they do, barring the press conference that we just ensued. But
We'll get to that in one sec. But to your point, credit where credit's due, they got rid of this guy, and we were all nervous. The fact that it didn't happen right after the season, the fact that he took this time again, and look, I think the initial time, if he wasn't going to do it right after the season, it's pretty obvious that he chose a day where there was no playoff baseball, like he was abiding by that whole, you know, don't upstage our games thing. So,
well, maybe, I don't know about that because it could also be, hey, like WIP is not going to be on the, like, we're not really doing anything.
Well, sure. Look, in terms of trying to bury this, you could not have picked a more perfect time.
Right,
the Eagles play tomorrow.
Yeah.
The president is in the freaking hospital. Like, on every level, you could not pick a better time to have a news dump than right now. Like, it is the easiest time on a Saturday in the middle of the day. Like, honestly, like,
I'm pumpkin picking.
Yeah,
I'm getting apple cider donuts.
I got a call from you, and I'm hanging out with my daughter, and I couldn't answer because I was full-on dad mode right there. But, like, I'm like, why the hell is Jack calling me right now? You know, what's going on? And then I found out why you're calling me because it was so freaking unexpected in that moment. So I agree with you on that sense. I do think it was a combination of the no playoffs thing, but also more so trying to just bury this. I agree with you. Well,
what was your reaction when you saw the news?
I'm not even kidding. No joke. And we would never lie to the High Hopes listeners. My very first reaction was, I get to do a High Hopes pod tonight. That's awesome. And I will edit that curse I just had out. Don't worry. You won't get to hear it, but it happened.
Yeah,
but that's how happy I am. That's how excited I am. That was, I swear to God, that was my first thought was, I get to do High Hopes. Because, again, I was legitimately worried. Like, we were going to stick to this. This was not some bit, not some BS thing. Like, we honestly felt like we had to take a stand. We couldn't stand by and let Matt Klentak run this franchise anymore. So my first thought was, thank God. My second thought was, step down? What? Like, honestly, I saw he's gone. I'm like, ah! And then I'm like, wait, he stepped down? And then you think about it, and you understand what's going on or whatever. My third thought was, sadly, following the John Middleton press conference on Twitter and then getting a chance to watch it after and being like, oh. So that was my third thought. But ultimately, my first thought was, thank goodness we get to do a podcast. Thank goodness this guy is gone. Let's dive into the Middleton stuff because, you know.
Do we have to?
Yeah.
Yeah,
we do. We do. Let's start with, we'll get to the actual stuff he said first, but just the idea. And this is where my first issue is, and I'm sure everyone's is because we've talked about it, but not just the idea that Andy MacPhail is coming back, not just the idea that John Middleton made it seem like Andy MacPhail is some baseball genius who he is so lucky to have helping him make these decisions, but also on a more basic level, Jack, to the point you just made about getting the right guy in here, I think keeping Andy MacPhail here limits your ability to get the perfect guy because Eric Neander's not leaving Tampa Bay to come here for just a general manager job. You got to give that guy the keys to the car. Chernoff in Cleveland is not coming here for the GM under Andy MacPhail job. Like, I am not just concerned that Andy MacPhail's here because I had long been a, you know, what the hell? Andy MacPhail's, like, meaningless. He's in Florida. Like, who cares about this guy? Now, like, it feels like, at least the takeaway is, Andy MacPhail's going to be more involved than ever, and not just that, but that will limit the group of, and look, there are still smart people out there that I want to run this team, but it does, in my mind at least, somewhat limit the options.
Yeah, and that was my takeaway too. But here's also what I realized. When he was talking about Andy MacPhail, the first couple of things he said about MacPhail was basically like, this is his last year. Like, he's gonna ride out the rest of this year. It's his last year of his contract. He won't be back. So while I agree with you in principle that it could hurt getting a big name like a Neander, a Chernoff, and all those, MacPhail, I think, could easily just step away and be done.
Almost like he's just kind of guiding them through this time, and then he's riding off into the sunset idea.
Right, and that's my optimistic view.
Yeah, like, I hope so.
I mean, that's my optimistic view, but because in reality, that's what he basically said. He basically said this is his last year here, and he wants to retire, he wants to get out, and he wants to be done. And, I mean, thank God, you know. Like,
please.
Won't miss you. I mean, won't miss you.
I mean, Andy, if you're listening right now, and you know, you probably are, who wouldn't want to retire? Why do you want to work? You've got lots of money. Enjoy life. If I could retire right now and only do that, High Hopes Pie is the only thing I would want to do, and then I could just leave and live on lots of money and enjoy life. I would do it right now. Do it, Andy. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, just go. Well, you know, honestly, what it might be, and Howard was just on WIP, and he said this, that apparently Andy is telling people within the Phillies organization that if he gets this team to the World Series, then he's a Hall of Famer. So we got Andy thinking Hall of Fame. So I think that's maybe why he wants to stay around for one more year and see if he can, you know, squeak out a World Series appearance.
Oh, yeah, because I'm sure. Yeah, this is a clear World Series contender right now.
Yeah. So my optimistic view, and honestly, my real view, is that it's Andy MacPhail's last year here, and he's going to kind of help them with the process of using his connections in baseball to get some candidates in here, take him to Middleton, and let it kind of run its course. They're going to run its course with Andy MacPhail, and he's going to be gone. I think the one thing that was definitely worrisome is he definitely really trusts his opinion, and he really trusts his opinion, and he really trusts Pat Gillick's opinion. And I mean, Pat Gillick, rightfully so, the guy's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, I mean, literally one of the best to ever do it.
Yes,
literally,
exactly.
In the history of the sport,
it would be dumb not to use to Gillick's experience.
If you have that guy as a resource, use him. No question.
Right, but like my first takeaway was MacPhail's gone no matter what after the end of the year. But then he kept talking about you know, he's a Steve Bartman thing away from being into the World Series again. He's a two-time World Series winner in 1987 and 1991. Like that would be like saying like Bill Parcells is still great for today's football. Like, I mean, like, what is that? Why are we using 1987 and 1991 as a reason why McPhail's still good today? In 2020, where the freaking best guys in the sport are 34 years old and are, like, it's just, it's asinine. But, like, yeah, he definitely trusts his opinion way too much. I understand he's got... It's kind of like Colangelo-ish, Jerry Colangelo, where it's like this guy has so many connections around the league and he's so well respected you can't like disrespect the McPhail name, I feel like. But it's like, I mean, Baltimore was, they got better when he left. The Cubs thing, like, that team wasn't that great, and sure, Bartman happened, but like the Cubs team wasn't special. It had Pryor and Wood, and after that it was like whatever. And then we're citing the 91 freaking Twins. Like, what kind of crap is that?
It's embarrassing, honestly. Like, it is. It's a little embarrassing. It's embarrassing.
A little?
I mean, a lot. You're right. It's a lot embarrassing. I mean, like, 1991 is a different world, Jack.
You were in your 40s. I mean, seriously. I mean,
well, you know what's funny is that I actually, like, that is, I remember that World Series so vividly. I remember Gene Larkin hitting the ball over the outfield, Dan Gladden coming around to score, coming in from third base to score. I remember Smoltz versus Morris. Like, I remember that so well. I was 10, so I get carried away.
Sorry,
but I remember
I got that wrong.
It was like a different world. It was a different time. It's so ridiculous. Yeah. Like, this
there
is wasn't asinine.
Even a, there was nothing even called analytics at that
point.
It
was a different game. Like, it was a completely different game.
Yeah,
it's,
I mean,
Jack
Morris is pitching 100 innings in a game seven. That doesn't happen today. I mean, it's just crazy. It's crazy. I wish she would just stop talking. I wish she would stop talking.
Stop talking. And on a grander scale, like, hire someone smart. Put them in a position to be successful and get the F out of the way. Like, you know what I would love to see from John Middleton moving forward? Nothing. I don't want to see you. I don't want to hear from you.
Series parade. I'll see him at the World Series parade.
Yes, exactly. You know what? Raise that trophy. You brought it back or die trying. Like, stop talking, man. Stop talking. Thank you for moving on from Matt Klentak. It was needed. It was necessary. Stop freaking talking. You make everything worse when he makes everything worse. Just again, like we said, if they had just gotten rid of Klentak today and whatever, they, you know, stepped down, fired, whatever, let's all be real, we all know what happened, but whatever, if he had done that and then not talked, it is unanimous approval, unanimous excitement, unanimous belief, and then he talks and he makes it so much more concerning. Let's get to some of the specific things he said.
Let's get to the low lights. Let's get to the low lights of the presser.
Let's get to the real stuff here, Jack. All right. I think, let's just start with the kind of biggest comment he had, the JT Realmuto stuff. The way I took it is, if someone gives JT an offer that is legitimate, they're not going to beat it. Like, he's going to be gone, most likely. And the whole, you know, I wouldn't have made the trade if I wasn't going to re-sign him. You're the guy in charge of re-signing was such a BS answer. But
and then he blames the baseball people.
That's my point. It's like, are you kidding, dude? You're the guy in charge of the money. Now, start with the JT thing, but I have a follow-up on the money part. But what did you think of the answer on JT and that whole kind of, you know, fluff he sold us?
I will be shocked if JT's on the Phillies next year. It felt like an admission of it's over. Like, it's over. He is not going to come back. And he's talking about, you know, the I would not have traded Sixto if I wasn't going to re-sign him. Then how about before you let him step through the door for his introductory press conference, you re-sign him?
Yep.
Now
that, or not even just, even if you don't do it then, do it after last season. Like, just do it. Like, just, you don't let it get to this point. Right. Like, you don't let it get to this point. It's crazy. Right.
And then he buries the baseball people, saying, they told me I can get an extension done. And that is one thing. Like, Klentak clearly wanted to wait till the offseason because they didn't think the market was going to be there. And then Mookie signed for 300 and some million, and it kind of blew up in their faces. So, honestly, like, my takeaway from the JT answer is that he tried to play it off like the reason that Klentak's not here anymore isn't because of JT, but I think
it's a big part of it.
I think the JT thing, more than I thought previously, is the reason that Matt Klentak is no longer the general manager of this baseball team. Like, his misread of the market and misread of JT and trading away,
and misread of Sixto. Again, yeah, like, even no matter what you have to do to get JT in that moment, if you have the right read on what Sixto is going to become, you don't trade him for JT in that moment. Like, if you know what we see now and you're like, oh, he actually is this guy, he's didn't get hurt, he's grown into this pitcher, like, whatever, like, you can't make that. Even if you resign him, you don't make that trade. Like, the idea of Sixto for the next 6 years at prior arbitration prices and stuff is, like, just so much more valuable than JT could ever be in 2 years plus a new deal. Like, he couldn't be, you know?
Yeah, well, and that comes down to self-scouting.
Exactly.
Who was the best prospect that they gave up for Lee, Pence, Halliday, Oswald? I mean, it's Carrasco. I mean, Carrasco's...
It's definitively Carrasco.
Carrasco's good, but it's not like it's Sixto good.
Yeah,
and
no,
Carrasco,
not even close.
Carrasco took forever.
Like, forever.
Right.
Forever.
But they gave away, I mean, they literally just gave away Pedro 2.0 for 2 years of JT Realmuto. So, like, yep. So nothing came back to bite them like this did. Like, at least they knew how to self scout back then. I mean, they're trying to spin it like Sixto's gonna have arm trouble and that stuff. Like, yeah, sure, he might, but I mean, holy smokes. I mean, he had seven pitches over 100 miles an hour in his first playoff start the other day.
Yep.
And like, it's just, I can't watch him. I swear I can't watch him, James.
It hurts. It hurts. Yeah, I actually watched that game and it actually physically hurts me. Like, it sucks.
Correct. I can't watch it. So, yeah, the JT thing felt like a big admission of he's gone. I think Klentak's not here anymore because JT is going to be gone. And, like, again, the putting this on the baseball people is ridiculous when you're the owner of the baseball team and you said last November that was, or October, that you don't even want to know about the little decisions. You're the big decisions guy.
Yep,
you're totally the owner. Like, this is what you said you do, is you make the big decisions. You could have got JT done whenever you wanted, and you chose not to. So don't throw that on the baseball people. If you said, yeah, listen, you stupid baseball people, I'm just going to give them whatever I want. I'm the freaking owner. Like,
totally.
That's all you have to do. So that was a ridiculous answer, and the one of many ridiculous answers.
Yeah, and that is particularly true when looking at this situation with the whole – I mean, it's – I'm flabbergasted that he gave that answer, that he tried to pawn that off. I mean, it is just so clear that's a you decision. And especially after you make a big deal of stupid money, after you do the whole, you know, bring the trophy back or die trying, like, you can't say that. You can't say that if you're not going to back it up. And letting the best player at his position, one of the top 20 players in the sport or whatever you want to put it, walk away because you won't pay him. That is what it is. Let's be real. And because you are scared of luxury tax, you're scared of whatever, is a big issue, which leads me into my next point. I don't know about you, but for me, the McPhail stuff, the JT stuff, all made me angry. The most angry I got during this whole thing is when my man John Middleton starts talking about cutting costs. When my man starts talking about, we don't know what the economic landscape is, we're losing money. Bro, are you kidding? You can't say, I will die trying bringing this trophy back and bring this stuff here. Look, I get we're in a pandemic and all stuff. You're worth $3.4 billion. $3.4 billion. The literal last thing I want to hear from you right now is, well, we might not be able to spend what we wanted to or whatever, especially considering that because you gave Matt Klentak this loan, because you chose that guy over Chaim Bloom, over the Twins GM, over all these guys who are clearly better choices, because you did this stuff, that you're going to say now when the team is in a position where literally The only way you can win now, the only way is to spend, is to buy a bullpen, is to add another starter, is to re-sign Didi, is to re-sign JT. Like, that's it. That's the chance right now. There is no waves of talent coming in. I'm happy he admitted that drafting and developing is the issue because, yes, it clearly is. No bleep, John. We agree with you on that. But for him to talk about potentially pulling back the reins, not spending the money that needs to be spent on this team is basically like telling us, well, we might not be good for a little while, or we might not be a World Series contender for a while. Like, that's the way I take it. And that's a concern, Jack.
It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro Recharge Kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.
Yeah, no, it totally is. And, like, I mean, JT's the guy. I mean, JT's the guy that you would have to re-sign if you want to do that. Now, if he turns around and goes sign and
Trevor Bauer or George Springer or whatever.
George Springer.
Sure, yeah. Bauer. Let's not leave Bauer out of this discussion.
Well,
I mean, if you have Nola, Bauer, and Wheeler, like, you get to a playoff series, you got a chance.
No, I agree. I just don't think he's signing long-term anywhere. I mean,
I agree. I don't think so either. I'm just saying, like, even then, giving Bauer a two-year $40 million deal or $45 million, yeah. $50 million deal, whatever. My point is, like, you need to be in on these people or else we're in a lot of trouble.
Also, I wouldn't be surprised if he just stays with Cincinnati because that's where the driveline pitching guys are, and that's, like, his best friends. So, but, yeah, so, like, JT or, you know, Bauer, JT, Springer, if you go out and do that, Didi, and still spend. But that's my main concern, too, is that they're just gonna cut this thing off. They're going to cut off the funds, and we're going to be a middling baseball team. You know, it's going to be Wheeler, Nola, Eflin, Howard. That's a pretty good four. And then it's just going to be Bryce, hopefully being MVP. Bryce, Hoskins, who knows, he might need surgery. And then I don't know what the lineup's going to look like next year. I mean, it's going to be another year of Gene Segura, another year older. Maybe he's going to be back at the shortstop. Like, I am terrified that they're just going to cut it off and they're not going to continue spending. And I believe me, we are all in on scouting and developing from within, but you can't do that right now. Like, you're in prime Bryce here, you're in prime Wheeler, you're in prime Nola, you're in prime Hoskins. Like, there's no rebuilding here. If you want to, you know, continue to build and sign international free agents and hopefully start drafting well. And I think they took a step in the right direction this year. And Brian Barber's obviously a great hire. All that stuff's important, but you can't just cut it off and say we're losing money and we're not going to feel as competitive as a team as we can next year. That's not an option, and I'm terrified that it is become an option. You're still getting the Comcast money, like you're getting all this stuff. You might be losing $100 million, but you're gonna make it back.
And let's be real, you're probably not. You know, if they were losing $100 million, they would have opened their books to the players. They would have shown them what they were losing. Like, baseball just signed a new $3 billion contract. Did you see Lindor's comments about Cleveland? I love seeing him say that stuff where they were like, can the Cleveland Indians afford to re-sign you? He's like, yeah, they're a $1 billion franchise. They definitely can. They're like, well, they've got, you know, the pandemic. And I was like, did you see the $3 billion contract that they just signed? And he was calling it out, and he's right. Like, I'm sorry. Like, I don't believe any of these owners when they're crying poor. It drives me crazy that they are. They are still making a lot of money off TV contracts. And again, ultimately, first of all, back to the $3.4 billion. Like, my man can afford it. He just can. And then on top of that, like, I'm sorry. Like, I don't, like, I understand this is rare, you know, a once in a lifetime thing. Like, this is all the worst year of all of our lives. And this is, you know, obviously there have been losses for a lot of people, but, like, you're still the dude who told us you were going to bring the trophy back or die trying. You're still the dude who said he wanted to be the Simon of the South. You're the dude who still says he is committed to winning. And honestly, you're the dude who told Bryce Harper to his face, if you come here, I will do whatever it takes to build a winner around you. That's the reason Bryce Harper came here. In the end, we all knew Matt Klentak had nothing to do with it. John Middleton, and to his credit, shout out. We appreciate it. John Middleton is the man who got Bryce Harper to come here, and he deserves a lot of credit for that. But the way he got Bryce Harper to come here is promising him that he was going to do what it takes to win. Well, guess what, buddy? Now's the time to prove it.
Yeah, and get this fan base back on your side, you know? Yeah. And that's what hurts about this whole thing is I left that WIP interview with Angelo where there's an hour in the studio, like, man, we have the guy.
Me too. And it was so I was so much- pumped, man. I was like, this guy's the best. This is the best. Let's roll.
And my biggest fear, and I don't feel that way anymore. I'm terrified. I feel terrified about the franchise. Like, if they get they just need to nail the GM hiring, get the right guy in here that can know what he's doing, hopefully, and he can just get out of the way, and they can just win, and they have a guy in there that'll spend Middleton's money wisely on the right players, and he can just calm down, because I don't think he knows. I know he doesn't know what he's doing. He's like openly talking in the press conference today about how he's learning baseball and learning how to run a baseball team. And then, like, it feels like it's all fly by the seat of your pants at this point. He's kind of like making it up as he goes on how to run a baseball team. Like, just honestly, like Eric Neander, Mike Chernoff, like, getting one of those guys in here and just letting them run the team might be the only thing that can save them for the next couple years. Like, that might be the only thing. Like, bringing in a young GM, hopefully he starts doing what he can do. But unless he just, like, I pray that Middleton will just pay whatever it takes for Eric Neander and then just get out of the way, because that might be the only way of saving this thing. Getting a guy in here that knows what he's doing, knows how to scout, knows how to draft, knows how to incorporate analytics. Like, that might be the only thing that can save this team. Maybe ever. I don't know. Maybe ever.
Wow.
Sure.
But it is paramount. I'm with you. Like,
it's the only thing that matters. Just get a guy in here that knows what he's doing and just let John spend the money and hopefully win big. Just let him win big. Just don't make I don't want him continuing to having to make big decisions year in, year out. I mean, this is the guy that thought hiring a manager was going to make this team 10 wins better. You know, like, that's what this is. I just, please, I'm begging you, just get the right guy in there and just let it go.
Well, and look, you know, there's been some negativity, you know, as we're talking about Middleton and stuff, but, like, look, we want them to give Eric Neander a blank check, obviously, or Mike Chernoff or whoever, like these top-tier elite type of guys who've proven it, you know? But even if it's not those guys, like, there are super smart baseball people out there. The next Eric Neander is out there somewhere. Like, those guys are out there. You just have to be willing to not only hire the right guys. Obviously, the history with that is not great. As we know, Klentak, over the three finalists, he picked the definitive wrong one of the three. So that is a concern. Maybe he's learned from it. You hope, whatever. The whole reports about him wanting an experienced guy scares the crap out of me, unless he is going to go pay for someone who's already implanted somewhere, like Neander or whatever. The idea of, like, a, you know, and we've talked about it on here a million times, but, like, if it's a Dombrowski type, I mean, that is true disaster. That is the next decade of our franchise just lost and whatever. I honestly don't even, like, Dombrowski, like, there's nothing to do here for Dombrowski. He doesn't have the pieces to trade away to build up what he wants. But regardless, I think that it doesn't have to be Neander. It doesn't have to be Chernoff. Like, there are super smart baseball people out there who, if given the chance, can build a franchise. Here's the key, though. Like you said, Jack, the man, John Middleton, has to get out of the way. He has to be willing to spend none of this cheap stuff that, like, I'm sorry, I know it's a weird world and a weird situation we live in right now, but if you want to compete now, if you want this group, if you want Bryce Harper to have a chance to win a World Series here, you have to commit. Now, you just have to. It's the situation you've put yourself in, and that's what happens when you hire Matt Klentak, and 5 years ago, after 5 years, after tanking, after being as bad as you were, this is what happens when you fail. This is what happens when you fail drafting and developing, adding young talent to this team. This is the situation you find yourself in. And you have to hire someone who can fix it and then be willing to give them the resources to fix it. So, like, and look, I do think it is important that Middleton acknowledged that drafting and developing has been such a problem for this franchise for such a long time. Like, I am all for putting resources into that, and Brian Barber's a really good start. But ultimately, this man has to hire the right person and then also get the hell out of that person's way.
Could not agree more. I am terrified about the experienced guy thing. Dombrowski, obviously, but Brian Sabian of the Giants, like stuff like that. Like, I don't, just because you got Klentak wrong does not mean that you go away from what is working in baseball right now. Like, it scares the living daylights out of me that he's just gonna, oh, I need a baseball guy in here. I want a freaking Ivy League 35-year-old nerd from the, like, hey, crazy idea. Let's not go to the Orioles or the Angels exactly. and grab their freaking analytics.
I would rather get the 20th guy down in the Rays org chart than the second guy in Baltimore, Los Angeles. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Oh my gosh. There's like, all right, James, there's five organizations they should pick from. The Rays, Indians, Yankees, A's, Braves. I mean, the Braves could be in there.
Sure.
I mean, just take someone from a smart organization.
Yeah. I mean, like, Rick Hahn, I would take his guy in Chicago. That dude's pretty smart. He's done a really good job with the White Sox. AJ Preller, his number two, whoever that is, if he's smart,
yeah,
whatever.
They
like,
took
there
forever
are certain
to build,
guys. But I think that the key organizations, if you really want to look at someone who, and sadly, I do think that you have to look at someone who can succeed with less than the top, because it doesn't seem like John Middleton, from the words he was saying, is going to spend the way we want him to. So it makes it more imperative that you have someone in here who can truly build, truly develop. So with that being the case, it's the Indians, it's the Rays, it's the A's, like one of those. Like, you know, one of those organizations that every single year, year in, year out, for the last freaking decade or more, contends with a third of the payroll we have, half the payroll we have, a quarter of the payroll we have. Those are the type of guys you need to go for.
And again, very important, not the Angels or Orioles. Like, just,
oh my God, this should be so simple.
Oh,
like,
dude,
that should be
crazy.
So simple.
Freaking crazy. So like one of the guys I like a lot, if we're gonna do this, I haven't honestly, like, I've been so in on, like, Eric Neander is the only thing I really care about. And I again, official Iowa's position, blank check for Eric Neander. I don't think it's going to happen.
No question. It's not going to happen, but that is definitively our position.
I don't think it's going to happen.
Oh, so really, I would put it at like 1%. 0.01%.
I mean, I would put it at like 5%. But
I mean, this guy kept Klentak in the organization because he didn't want to just pay him to leave. Like, that's what just happened. And that's fine. Like, I get it, whatever. But like, really? Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Well, whatever.
Like, it just doesn't feel like this guy's going to hand Eric Neander $50 million to run his team. Like, it just doesn't.
Well, what? I mean, you don't know what Klentak could be doing. He could be, you know, turning on the hot dog machines and making sure the lights are on. I mean, you don't know what he's doing. He could be doing some hard work.
He's valet parking the cars at Citizens Bank Park when they have special events. How about that?
Wouldn't that be a story? Oh,
what
hey,
if
Matt?
you pull into Lot K? Yeah. When fans are allowed back in the stadiums, hopefully next year we pull into Lot K and Mac Klentak's there taking our ticket. What do you think?
Yeah. I mean, I'd be earning that $3 mil. I mean, $3 mil a year.
Imagine.
So, yeah, I don't think he's gonna do it. I would give a blank check to him. Chernoff's the same kind of way out in Cleveland. But I really like a guy like Sean Forman, who is with the Indians.
Sean Forman, like baseball reference. Sean Forman?
No, Sean. No. He's with the Indians.
Oh, I didn't realize. You know the guy who started Baseball Reference is named Sean Forman as well.
Oh, you know what? I messed it up. His name's not Sean Forman.
I didn't think so. I was like,
no,
Sean Forman's the Baseball Reference.
He is. He's, no, you're 100% correct. It is.
Okay, cool.
It is.
Cool.
I messed that up. There's a guy with the Indians. I forget his first name, but his last name's Forman. He went to Malvern Prep, and he's like in his 30s, and he's in the Indians, and he is like pretty much one of their big time, like, scouting guys.
Yes.
He's like the assistant. He's an assistant to the GM, I think, something
in.
Like that. So
hire him
up.
Now. I'm in. I don't need to hear anymore.
Like, yeah, again, like these guys. There's another guy, the second in command with the Rays, I think would be a really good name. I just gotta look it up
again. The 20th in command with the Rays feels like a good name to me.
You're right. Anyone with the Rays, and maybe see if Haim will come down here and take over this team for a little bit.
Yeah. Maybe just see. What are you doing in Boston, man? I mean, yeah. Come on. They don't even care up there.
No, they know. They know you're all rebuilding up there anyway. There's so many guys with the Rays. Like, oh gosh, I'm just so.
Well,
jealous.
You know what's awesome. Forgetting all the, you know, issues we've had tonight.
Peter Bendix is the name from the Rays. He's the vice president.
We get to do pods talking about this, Jack. We get to do the GM search pod. Let's go, baby.
I know. And I promise.
We were this close to not podding for a year.
Ever
and now
again.
We get to do GM searches. Like, how great is this?
Ever again. Beautiful thing. So my promise to the High Hopes listeners is that if Neander is not going to happen, Chernoff's not going to happen, they're not going to bring in someone to be their president and all that stuff, my promise is the next High Hopes podcast, I will have the next guy. I will have the next guy.
That's a big promise right there.
Well, because we have to start.
I agree.
That's the next guy.
We need to do.
I mean,
much as we want Neander, we have to acknowledge that it is unlikely, and thus we have to take the next step.
Yes. And if
thank God Klentak is gone. Again, real quick, thank God. Thank God. I know we've had some negativity because John Middleton needs to not talk ever again to the media, whatever. But, like, thank God. Thank you. Thank you for getting rid of Matt Klentak and letting us do this podcast. I really would have missed it. I love it. So thank you.
It is the best. And if there's one thing that is, you know, my passion, it is getting the entire High Hopes community behind.
I know. Shout out to all of you wonderful people. I've seen many blank check for Eric Neander tweets. So
yep.
You all rule.
Yes, and maybe we can bully John into doing it. You know, maybe we can just tweet it enough that it'll come. I mean, it's
yeah.
Clear
well, I loved how he was like, "Well, fan pressure didn't, you know, make me make the decision, but I noticed it. I saw it. It's out there." It's
well,
like, all right, bro. We know.
He clearly,
you're
he
welcome for helping you get rid of Matt Klentak.
He clearly did not want to lose the High Hopes podcast because this
nor,
is where.
Nor should he have. I mean, that would have been a bad decision. So
I mean, think about well all done. The good. Think about all the good things this podcast has done for the Phillies organization. Brian Barber, Matt Klentak out.
Bryce Harper. Let's be real.
I mean, how much more do we have to do? I mean, would he let us run the Phillies after the comments we made earlier? Probably not. But I think if he got past the comments about him never hopefully speaking to the media again and really got to the core of this podcast and brings in Eric Neander, I will take it as a massive win.
Are you kidding me? We can only do so much. I will. He's Jack Middleton again.
Oh, yeah.
Like, to John. Look, he got rid of Klentak. We said it. John Middleton, sir. That is your name, even though you didn't. Look, some people aren't great at talking to the media. It happens. He gave a horrendous press conference when Gabe Kapler was fired, and then he went out and got Joe Girardi here, and that was a win, and that was a good job. So, like, I'm not saying this is unsalvageable or whatever, but yeah, if you get Eric Neander in here, what up, Jack?
Yeah, Jack Middleton is back in the building. So, like, I think it's on us to do as much as we can to get Eric Neander here. I mean, now Salisbury, he did write 14 GM candidates for the Phillies. I think 13 of them were god awful, but he did mention Eric Neander by name in that article. And I will take that as hopefully a little birdie is saying we're going after him. We're going after the big dog. So,
oh my god, can you imagine what it?
No, dude. Honestly, I would stop doing the High Hopes podcast because I'd just be on cloud.
You wouldn't
nine.
Be able to talk. Like you would be so happy, you would just be like hyperventilating.
Yes, correct. So, please, I mean. Hopefully the Rays lose. Like I don't want them to win the World Series now because if they get it out and he's like, geez, I gotta, like, imagine how frustrating it would be every year knowing that you gotta like, basically, you know, do magic to get the best roster in baseball.
I can only imagine. Look, there's a reason that Andrew Friedman went to the Dodgers. Like a lot of people are, oh, Andrew Friedman, you know, he's not gonna leave the Rays. Like he did. He went to the Dodgers because he was like, oh, wow, now I can like. Take what I do and do it with way more resources. Why wouldn't I do that? I mean, you see people in any industry. Look at our industry. People move from like Charlotte to New York or this or that because it's a bigger market, because there are more opportunities, because there's more resources. Same idea.
Yes. And before we get out of here, a lot of people have been asking me, and there is a report out there today. There might be a falling out with Mr. Theo Epstein of the Cubs.
I saw this too.
Yep.
I was going to bring it up.
I would just like to say that if Theo Epstein comes here and wants to run the Phillies,
you're in. Tell me you're in, Jack. Tell me you're in.
I will be ecstatic. I mean,
let's go.
All that guy does is
my
turn,
dude.
I mean, all Theo Epstein does is turn teams into World Series contenders. Like that's just what he does. Now, I have criticized him in the past because I don't think he's great at maintaining.
Some of our bigger arguments in the past have been about one Theo Epstein,
right?
I think is the greatest executive in sports history, potentially.
No, I mean, Eric Neander exists.
He ended the two longest, most suffering streaks in the history of sports.
Dude, no one loves freaking championships more than you. How would you get past the championships?
Jack,
like, we can evaluate a guy's job without being
Jack,
this guy
can
won
I, can
one.
Can I just say three words to you?
Nick Foles won the Super Bowl.
No, that's more than three words. Get better at words. Three words. You know what they are. You're just not thinking
Flags
straight.
Flags fly forever.
Thank you.
Flags fly forever. I get it. But
in case you knew that, my wife, Emily, just yelled, woo, from up there, because she knows flags fly forever. Thank you, Emily.
Yes.
She said, do what you got to do to win.
Does Emily know Theo's record after the 2016 World Series and where that team is at? I just want to make sure we're on the same page here. That would you say I'm winning the Theo argument at this point?
No. But I will say that for someone who is arguing against the guy who literally ended the two longest suffering sports fandom streaks in the history of baseball, you do an amazing job arguing. Like, this should be a no-brainer win for me, and you do make me doubt myself sometimes. So, crap.
All right, well, how about this? How about this for the nail in the coffin? Who would you rather have be the president and GM of this team?
Don't say Eric Neander. I would rather have Eric Neander. Stop talking, all right?
I know you would. I know
you would.
Are
we done? Is this over?
No, it's all right. It's all right. Hold on. So Eric Neander is the official position.
Yes.
Let me just see if I wrote anything else down here. It was refreshing how committed it seems like he is to scouting and
totally.
That seems to be because he probably doesn't want to spend on free agency anymore.
True. I agree with you. I think that's part of it, but ultimately, like, on a real basic level, as much as we talk about the team right now and we say we want to win right now and they have to based on the roster they have, if they don't want to waste this and just be a middling thing and waste Bryce Harper's career and all that. But on a holistic, like as a Phillies fan level, like if I could just pick one thing for them to do better, it would be draft to develop better. Like, he's right. It is the single most important thing for the future of the franchise, for the health of the future of the franchise. So he's not wrong. It's just, like you said, it could be ulterior motives for saying it.
Right. So, so it was to wrap up today, it was first pure elation and just pure excitement. And then it was like, I'm pretty disappointed after the Middleton press conference. And now I'm back to being excited again. You know,
I'm definitely way more excited than not. Like, yeah. I just am.
I mean, just the thought of doing a new GM podcast.
Think about how many sad pods we've done recently. Oh. Like, I know. Like, I know we bitched a little bit in this one, and you know, there's been some whatever. I'm psyched, man. Like, on a basic level, I have a lot of questions. I hate that Andy McPhail is still here. I don't love that John Middleton ever speaks in public, but I am excited. Like, I am excited again about the Phillies. Like, Matt had to go. Like, that guy had to go. He's gone. I'm excited.
Yeah, a little annoyed that it took so long because it doesn't feel like they wanted much conviction with their decision. But he's gone, and that's all that matters. And I will not complain anymore. Correct decision. Very excited. I look forward to the next High Hopes podcast.
Again,
so
exactly.
Really,
like,
get into it.
He's not Jack Middleton yet.
No,
but he's John Middleton.
He's just one $50 million blank check away from being Jack Middleton again.
Which is crazy, think about it this way. Like, as look, all we talk, like, sign JT was such a thing. Like, it became national. It's a whole thing. Like, Sign Eric Neander. Like, you honestly, you can let JT walk. I don't want you to. I want him here. But if I have a choice for this offseason for one or the other, it's Neander 100,000 times over sign JT. It's not even close.
Yeah, I would much rather have Eric Neander here than JT Real.
It's not even like, it's not close. Like, yeah. It's actually not close.
Sixto could win 4 straight Cy Youngs.
Like, oh, man.
1,000 straight Cy Youngs.
What's sad about that is he could. He could actually do that.
Of course he could. Of course he could. He could. But at least there's hope. There is hope now.
There's high hopes, baby.
Yes.
We're back.
Yes. We are definitively back.
Yes. Oh, I'm so happy we didn't have to end this podcast for a year or whatever. Like, I love doing it. I love you listeners. Like, I'm really happy we're back, man. That's my biggest takeaway from tonight.
Never leaving until we want to fire.
You can't
year.
Even get rid of us if you want to. I'm sure there were some people out there who were like, sweet, let those idiots go away. Sucks for you. We're back. You got any final thoughts?
Nope. I am going to drive back to Westchester tonight.
What dedication, buddy. Thank you. You drove back to Philly just to record this podcast. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, of course I did. And this is all I've been begging for this podcast for 2 years now. So, of course I drove back to Philly for this. And I am looking forward to getting back to Westchester and cracking open the first McClintock is no longer my GM beer.
There's, well, I'm already 3 into that. So yeah. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. Yep. And you're slowly starting to realize that I'm right about Theo Epstein. I mean, what a freaking night. But seriously, if Theo wants to come around the Phillies, like, no problem.
Please, buddy.
Come on. Come on down.
You are so welcome.
Also, the Yankees should definitely move on from Cashman. And we'll
saying this for a while. I mean, he's not good, you know?
Oh, stinks. Yeah. Stinks. Has no idea what he's doing. So
we get to the GM pods. I'm so excited, man. I'm in a great mood.
Give me one report. Just give me one report. They're going after a big
game. Give me Salisbury being like, hearing whispers.
Name
about
to watch.
Neander. Something like that. Like,
name to watch, Eric Neander.
Name to watch.
I will faint.
Oh, we love you, IOPS listeners. We are so happy that we are back. Guess what? Next week, we'll be back more. We're going to do the GM pod. We're excited. We're back. For Fritz, I'm Seltzer. We'll see you guys later.